Hi, this is Bonnie Gillespie, and you're tuned in to The Work. The Anatomy of a Breakdown. So, I put out these breakdowns on Actors Access. They also go out to Breakdown Services, Breakdown Express, agents, managers. But I put them out on Actors Access so actors can see them. That's really important to me. And I've done a previous episode where you guys can hear me talk about my passion for having breakdowns go out in front of actors. It's very important to me as a former actor and just as someone in this business who is working on low budget indies, which means oftentimes I need to reach actors who may be repped, but perhaps their reps don't see the benefit in submitting their clients on something where they're only going to earn $100 a day, because that means the agent's only going to get $10 a day for that booking. So, I mean, I get it. And that's why I put my stuff all the way out there. I am often asked about the breakdown of a breakdown. And that's pretty much what this episode is going to be about. I want to talk you through a breakdown, like item by item. And I want to make sure that you understand its purpose, each piece. So we're going to start with a project that I was working on a while back, which has not actually shot yet. So I am told it is coming back. Boy, does this ever happen in indie films, that we start working on a project, we attach a couple people, we do a table read in front of investors, and then things go on hold for a little bit. And a little bit can be anywhere from a couple of months to, oh, I don't know, a couple of years. And then it comes back around and we reignite it. And that's the case with this one. So I'm going to talk to you about a role for a character called Bud. Starts out male. So the first thing we always list is the gender of the character, male, female, or doesn't matter. Next is the age range. In this case, we've got 30 to 45. Y'all, this is where that thing I've talked about before is so important. You do not need a 15-year age range. Just because some of the characters we cast can have a 15-year age range, it doesn't mean you as an actor benefit yourself by having a 15-year age range. Specificity is your friend. You want to have a 4-year age range. And then if we see you outside of that, younger, older, let us take you there. Let it be our idea to cast you younger or older. But the age range in the project itself, don't worry that you don't fit those exact years. Instead, note that your 4-year age range is somewhere within that whatever number of years that we've given you. Sometimes it can be early 20s, or it can be to play 11. That's one of the characters in this breakdown as well, to play 11, meaning we are looking for a child actor to play 11, which means she's probably going to be older, but she's small and can play 11. Because it's important to us that we can work her as many hours as possible. And the older she is through child labor laws, the longer we can keep her on set. So you'll see a lot of different notations. TPY is another one, to play younger. So 18 to play younger is a big one. It means that you have to be legal 18, which means you're either actually 18 or you're 16 with the high school equivalency exam. Note that is not the same thing as a GED. It's not the same thing as emancipation. It is just something that means that you are able to work on set as a legal adult, even though you are still not yet 18. So the age range is what comes next. After that comes the ethnicity. So in this case, Bud is any ethnicity. That means I don't care. It does not matter. It is not important to the story that he be of any particular ethnicity or nationality or race. It is just the characteristics that are going to be far more important on this. The description is what comes next. Oh, sorry. Let's back up on the ethnicity issue. You don't actually have to be of a certain race or ethnicity in order to submit when a certain race or ethnicity is what is asked for. You just have to be able to play it. Same thing as age range. We just need to be able to believe that you can be that, and then you will be it. Nationality is a big one. Like some people, I don't know, just look Canadian. I don't know, but they just do. And so they get to submit on anything that says Canadian, even if they're not actually Canadian, because they have a look that feels Canadian for some reason. It's a quality. It's not like we're going to go check your passport and make sure that we, like on your birth certificate, yes, everything is official. We are creating fiction. We are telling stories. So just like you're not a superhero when you're playing the role of a superhero, you do not have to be the exact age or the exact ethnicity of the character you're portraying. You just need to be able to make people believe it. Next comes the description. A bear of a man with a huge mustache. He's a biker, usually covered in denim and leather. All right, so that's the character description. If that's you, if that's a slam dunk for you, if that's your bullseye, if you're like, I'm a bear of a man, I have a huge mustache or can grow one quickly, that's important. I'm a biker. I know how to ride a bike or I'm comfortable around bikes. I'm usually covered in denim and leather. I'm guessing this guy has a tattoo or 10. But it doesn't say that in here, so that's not required. But certainly you get a picture of the kind of guy that we're talking about here just from these adjectives that I've pulled together in this breakdown. Next comes this parenthetical bit. Think Donald Logue, John C. Reilly, Paul Walker, Josh Holloway, Aaron Eckhart. As you see that list of actors, here's what I want you to know. We're doing a couple things. One, we're trying to give you a picture of the type. These are actors, yes, that possibly are on our wish list, or if they're not still living, these are people who are on our prototype list of people that are the right look or vibe or feel. But when we say think and then give you a list, whether these are current day actors or actors who have passed or actors from an era long ago, we are trying to give you a picture of the characters that are in our mind when we are talking about this script and this particular character. This is to give you an idea of the actors that populate that space for us. So very important for you when you're reading this to go, yeah, I live in their world. I am absolutely a part of their territory. This is my space, my neighborhood. I get that for sure. More importantly, is to know that especially on low budget indies where we have a little bit of money, we are including some of these names as bait. Here's what I mean by that. I know that the fancy talent agent that reps these guys that are at the highest level probably not going to open this breakdown because, again, if it's a project where on this one, I think we were talking like $1,000 a day, so it's $100 a day for the agent. That's not a ton of money. You know, it's much more likely that I'm going to get to a name actor by way of his personal assistant or his personal trainer or his chef or a friend relationship or to him himself. This is where it becomes bait because someone sees this name in the breakdown and goes, hey man, did you see your name was in the breakdown today? And mentions it to the actor. The actor comes back to the agent and says, I hear my name was in the breakdown today. I know it's a low budget indie, but can you go ahead and see like what would the offer be? And then an agent at one of the bigs who normally wouldn't open up a breakdown of this budget level suddenly checks it out and then downloads the script from Screenplay Online and says, wow, this is actually really good. And suddenly I get a phone call and the phone call goes, hey, Bon, I see you want a Donald Logue type. You want to make an offer? I'm like, what a great idea you just had, brilliant agent. I would love to make an offer. Thank you so much for that suggestion. And now it's not me cold calling the fancy agent saying, let me talk this project up and tell you that even though it's low budget and even though you don't know the director, it's a really great script and you really should check it out. Please, please, please. Instead, it's you came to me and pitched me your guy. And now I just got to make you an offer. Huge ninja move. Really, really good. So please understand that there are a couple purposes for that list of think actors. One is to let you as the actor know what we're looking for visually and vibe-wise. Two is we might possibly be going fishing. Next, you'll see the words, in this case for the role of Bud, large supporting. Sometimes you'll see lead. Sometimes you'll see small supporting. Sometimes you'll see featured. Sometimes you'll see co-star. This is where you get to know the level of the role in terms of billing. And billing is really important on your resume and how you credit yourself in your resume for the projects that you've done and the roles that you've done. So now you're getting a sense of how big the role is, how important it is to the story. And of course, this is where you're able to use a negotiating tactic if you are someone who has only ever worked as a co-star, but maybe you're looking to work at guest star level in television. You see that this one's being billed as a co-star, and maybe you say, I would love to take this role on at guest star billing for co-star money. That's a ninja move, because then you're able to say, I will not cost you anything in terms of what you call the role, what you pay the role, but what you call the role is going to help me in my life with my next booking. And that's huge. So really pay attention to the billing that is in this, usually in all caps, right after that list of actors that we want you to think about when we are talking about the character. The final thing in the breakdown character description that often confuses people, and this is the one that blows me away, because I just thought this was common knowledge, but I answer this question so many times, clearly it's not. There is a number in parentheses. In the case of Bud, the number is 1. The number 1 is in parentheses. And people go, so what's the 1? In the case of Gary, it's 3. In the case of the female child, it's 3. That number in parentheses indicates the page number of the script on which this character is first introduced. Here's why that's important to you as an auditioning actor. Even if you cannot get the entire script, which I always encourage you to do, oh my God, if you have the ability to get the entire script, get it, read it, because it's your job. There's going to be some other actor that shows up there who has read every single page of that script and is going to know that character's journey better than you. And they are going to have an edge on their audition because they know at what point in the story this set of audition sides comes from. So it is on you to try and get the script if you can. But even if you cannot, you can discern some really great information from having that page number, because the page number, number 1, tells me Bud is a part of this story from jump. Bud is a part of this story from page 1. I've already told you he's a large supporting role. That's right there in the breakdown, but he's introduced on page 1. So I give you audition sides. You're going to get to audition for this, and I give you audition sides from page 37. You should know a character that has been in this journey since page 1. By page 37, if he's large supporting, there's probably some stuff that has happened. And that stuff that has happened informs where this character is by page 37. That should help you with your choices as an actor for the scene that is coming up as a part of your audition material. Same if it's page number 57. And if it is page 57 that your character has audition sides for, and in the breakdown, it says that this character was introduced on page 54. There's not a big journey that happened from page 54 to page 57. So maybe you don't have to put as much math into it. But for something like this, if you're given a set of sides anywhere later in the script than a couple pages from where that character was introduced, you can bet there's a little bit of a story arc that has happened. There's some backstory that you probably need to educate yourself on. And the actor who has done that research is going to have a cleaner audition in the minds of the buyers, because they're going to come in and give us something that teaches us something beyond what's just on the page. And that is how we ninja this shit up. Use the amazing information that is supplied to you right there from within the breakdown, so that before you come in for your audition, you are as equipped as you possibly can be with as much information as possible, and you're able to look up these actors that I gave you in the think list and see what it is that they have in common, so that you're not coming in and trying to do your best John C. Reilly, but instead you're looking at what does John C. Reilly have in common with Paul Walker? What does Paul Walker have in common with Aaron Eckhart? And what do they both share with Josh Holloway and Donald Logue? And what is it that is the through line on that makes you a good fit for this? And that is the stuff you to use when you are choosing what to do with the sides that you're given for the audition. And with that, we conclude The Anatomy of a Breakdown. All right, my friends, this has been Bonnie Gillespie for another episode of The Work. Thank you so much for joining me here. Please join me over at BonnieGillespie.com for all sorts of goodness between episodes. And until next time, stay ninja.